recorded remotely and mixed together at an isolation location that's not overlooking Douglas Bay, this is Judith Lay, very pleased to be at your service. Manx Radio. Maramai, good morning and welcome. And once again, I'm joined by members of the island's Christian community, sharing words, music, reflections and stories with one aim, to lift us up while we're locked down. Like so many people, I'm working from home, and this week I've been listening to some well-known radio and television personalities talking about presenting their live programmes from their homes. Lots of funny stories, as you'd imagine, but what stuck in my mind was Robert Peston's comment that the longer we broadcast in this way, with variations in sound and lower quality in television pictures, the more it'll become the accepted norm. And that might be a good thing, because it'll give us all more flexibility on how and where we broadcast. And we might just become more obsessed about people and telling their stories than in just making it all very slick and professional. And another presenter said, "Being able to actually see the people I care about is something I hope never to take for granted again. I also hope this time changes forever how we appreciate key workers doing the jobs the rest of us simply can't do without." Amen to that. And so to today's programme, and once again, thank you to everyone who replied to my invitation to choose your favourite hymns and inspirational music. Please keep those suggestions coming. I've got a list and I'll play some of your choices every week. And at the end of the programme, I'll remind you how to contact me. Our opening hymn today has been picked for us by Methodist minister Reverend Richard Hooton. He says, "It brings back many happy memories of times serving in the Boys' Brigade. It's the Boys' Brigade hymn, and the motto of the brigade is Sure and Steadfast." Richard also thinks it's a very appropriate hymn for the present time. Here's the Scottish Festival Singers and "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life." Scottish Festival Singers and "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life," the choice of Reverend Richard Hooton. For the next 40 days, we're in the Easter season, and our Bible readings tell what happened after Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Day. He met his disciples a number of times, talking with them, helping them to understand what had happened to him, and teaching them what to tell other people about him. Louise Bennett is going to read the story of one particular meeting between Jesus and his disciples as it is told in St John's Gospel. And then Reverend Joe Dudley, the vicar of Christ Church in Laxey, reflects on what that story is saying to us today.
That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name.
I have found myself, like others, so many times over the last 3 or 4 weeks, reflecting on what I have taken for granted in many ways through my life, within the restrictions of school, work, or relationships. We have eaten when hungry, drunk when we wanted to, spoken when we felt like it, and generally gone out when the need arose. Suddenly, so much of that has been stripped away from us, and we find ourselves alone, isolated, and in many cases, very frightened. I was fortunate to join a pilgrimage to the Holy Land in October and saw and felt for myself the places where Jesus and his family and friends walked on the dusty roads and desert, surely enduring the many hardships encountered by a group moving together 2,000 years ago. The portion of the Gospel of John, which Louise read, is often dubbed Doubting Thomas. In our culture springs the term a Doubting Thomas, when someone wants to not believe something. I want to turn that round for us today and make him the believing Thomas. John's Gospel commences, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." Jesus picked 12 men to work with him and to believe in him. He made a community of that 12, showing them the way of light and love. He lived with them for 3 whole years. They knew so much about him. As death overtook Jesus, even the remaining 11 doubted. They dropped away from him. They became frightened and locked themselves away in rooms, fearing persecution. Then 10 believed when they saw Jesus. He gave to them the power of the Holy Spirit so that they could continue the work that he had shown them how to start. The disciples who were there physically saw and physically believed. Because of their belief, we have the opportunity of believing also and knowing that the same Holy Spirit is there to help us, to support us, and indeed to direct us. As Christians, that is what we believe. We need to be strong as individuals in a strong, supportive community to ensure that we display God's love and our desire for his kingdom to come on this earth. Our strength comes from the power that believing in the life, work, and love of Jesus gives to us. I've only been a priest for 14 years. I have never known a time when I was not a Christian, brought up in a loving Christian home. For 30 years from the early 70s as a police officer, definitions helped us to do our job. Even the word evidence was defined. And from memory goes like this. In law, the term evidence is used to indicate the means by which any fact or question can be proved or disproved in a manner complying with the rules governing the subject. So we come back to Thomas. He was not there when Jesus came to call that first time after his resurrection. Thomas knew Jesus just like the other disciples did. He was very loyal to him. He was the one who, having asked the question about the way and why Jesus was to die, when he understood, said, "Let us go too," showing real solidarity, even in the face of death, to his Lord, teacher, and master. When the other disciples were locked into that room, he, Thomas, was probably away grieving for the loss of his friend, his master, and his teacher, and perhaps wondering where his own life would take him now. He, Thomas, was not prepared to believe what others told him. He wanted to see for himself. He wanted first-hand evidence of what he was being told. It was what he hoped for, but he could not believe it unless his own eyes saw for himself. So we have read again this morning that familiar story and reminded ourselves that God does not give up on us any more than he did Peter earlier or Thomas. Once Thomas saw, he knew that Jesus was his master and his God, thus fulfilling the cycle of the gospel and for the first time acknowledging the oneness of Jesus with the Father and calling him God. We must never give up, even if others would have us believe we live in a post-Christian society. We have a duty to God and to those who have gone before us never to give up. We don't always live in an accepting society. Sometimes we have to be brave to change things. No door is closed to God, and he uses us sometimes to open the way for others to believe. The words of the Gospel of John, recording the life and words and works of Jesus, are a starting point and can give each of us the light, the power, and the reason to allow the Holy Spirit into our own life, to allow us to live and work for Jesus.
Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Let us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong.
Hear the crush of
Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone, to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bears the image of God's face.
Let us bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome in this place.
All Are Welcome, Reverend Joe Dudley's hymn choice for today. Jill Poole is a reader in the Anglican Church and, as well as leading worship, enjoys organising quiet days, helping people to relax and rest in God's presence. But she's the first to admit that it's often easier said than done, something that Godfrey Rust understands in his poem that Jill brings to us now.
Sometimes I listen for your word and hear nothing. In the quiet of my room, the only noise is the thump of my heart and voices arguing inside my head. It's not that I don't give you a chance. Sometimes I say nothing for as long as 5 minutes. Your silence is still deafening. Then I open a book and out tumbles your voice. And when I try to shut that up, I find you can get a word in anywhere. I've even heard you sometimes from the pulpit. I hear you on the 9 o'clock news saying, "What have you done to the world I gave you?" I hear you in the tabloids saying, "Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone." With the burst of spring flowers, you say, "Look, no hands." With the most extraordinary sunset, you say, "Look, just relax." The shrunken face of hunger is you saying, "Feed me." The beggar on the underground is you saying, "House me." The dreaded diagnosis is you saying, "Heal me." The Valium prescription is you saying, "Free me." The redundancy notice is you saying, "Value me." The scream of the torture victim is you saying, "Father, forgive." The priest staring down the barrel of a gun is you saying, "Love casts out fear." When I'm late and hurrying, you are the face on the clock saying, "I am the beginning and the end." When I'm greedy, you are the face on the banknote saying, "Treasure is in heaven." When I'm proud, you drop your banana skins in front of me saying, "Don't look down." When I'm lonely, you are the stillness of the house, saying, "I am with you, always." And when I'm grieving, you are the voice at the graveside, saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." Sometimes I listen for your word and hear nothing. And sometimes I hear nothing else.
Thank you to Jill Poole for Godfrey Rust's poem, The Words Out. And the accompanying music was a preview of a new but not yet released arrangement of Hallelujah by multi-instrumentalist Simeon Wood. The last time I saw Reverend Richard Hall and his wife Ruth was in mid-January, just as they were about to leave the island for a three-month sabbatical, a short but complete break from Richard's ministry as superintendent or leader of the Methodist Church here on the island. In those 3 months, the world changed massively, so I've invited Richard to share some thoughts on the whole experience.
On February the 3rd, my wife Ruth and I embarked on our sabbatical, which was due to end on April the 9th. In the end, we had to curtail it in order to return to the island whilst it was still possible to travel, and so we came home on the 20th of March. When Judith asked me to reflect on this experience for this morning's At Your Service, I wondered how it was relevant to our current situation, but the more I've reflected in preparing this, the more relevant it seems to be. Ultimately, you'll be the judge of that, but here goes. A sabbatical is a gift which the Methodist Church gives to its ministers every 7 years to do something different, be informed and enthused for ministry, take time for refreshment and renewal, and hear the still small voice of God. Some of you will know that I am rapidly approaching the age when Methodist ministers sit down, a quaint phrase which in simple terms means retirement. Ruth and I will have travelled together on this adventure of ministry for 36 years since entering theological college. When the church recognised my call to ministry in 1985, it was not about a time-limited appointment with a clearly defined job description, but a calling from God to enter into a lifelong ministry. The question for sabbatical became, what does ministry look like after you're no longer available to be stationed by the conference? Our prayer was that God would guide us as to the future, and we asked other folk who knew as well to pray that we would be given a clear sense of direction. As we all now find ourselves in this period of lockdown due to COVID-19, I increasingly hear people talking as if this were a kind of sabbatical, a time to reflect on what really matters. A sabbatical begins with the question, what on earth do I do now that my diary is empty? And then the discovery that, in some ways, the gift of time to be who you are, rather than just doing what you do, gives space to ask deep questions. A sabbatical often ends with the question, do I really want to return to all that frantic activity? And how can I ensure that the things I do really matter rather than just falling back into the same routine as before? A question that we will all ask ourselves when this lockdown finally comes to an end. What have you valued about this time of living in a different rhythm? I know there'll have been huge frustrations, worries, and sadness for many. But I also hear constant reports of all the good stuff that people are doing and the new connections that are being made. The temptation is to pick up the diary, clear the emails, and return to business as usual. After all, what we do in life is often what makes us feel safe and valued. Jesus' summary of the gospel was not a to-do list, but the commandment to love God with every part of your being and to love your neighbour as much as you love yourself. So what did we discover on our curtailed sabbatical? We've always worked on the principle that God reveals his plans one step at a time, and that the best way to begin to discern this is by pushing on doors. We pushed on several doors which began to open and encourage us to believe that our future might involve being nearer to the family in the USA. And for a time it looked as though that pathway was open to us. And here's the hard bit about discernment. We could have pushed really hard and made that happen. But it became very clear to us, in a way that's hard to explain, that this was not the right door to be pushing on, and that our future would be back in the UK. So what is the plan for the future? We now know what it isn't, and we're at peace about that. We don't need to know the rest, for now. The next 15 months are about getting on with being here on the island, and the rest will slowly emerge as time goes by. One step at a time is God's way, knowing always that, by his Holy Spirit, God will guide and sustain us in the future as he has in the past. And whatever lies ahead, all will be well. I hope and trust that your enforced sabbatical will be a time which will help you to refocus on your priorities for the future. And most importantly, I pray that when the lockdown is lifted, we won't just fall back into our old ways, forgetting the lessons we've learnt in this time.
Thank you to Reverend Richard Hall, leader of the Methodist Church here on the island, and to Jill Poole, Louise Bennett, and Reverend Joe Dudley for being at your service this morning. If you'd like to choose a favourite hymn or inspirational music, you can email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Leigh is spelled L-E-Y. I'd love to hear from you. And finally, the first in our new mini-series, A Thought Before 10 from Andy Perry.
I found a hidden button the other day. It was in a funny place, on the inside of my new shirt, sewed to a seam along the side. When in time I lose a button, the thoughtful makers have supplied a spare. Totally useless where it is, but when you need it, all you have to do is put it in the right place. An emergency button. Actually, I think we've all got an emergency button somewhere inside. I think you find the button when you pray, and prayer points us to God. And same as the shirt, the button's been put there by a thoughtful maker. Why not have a look for yours today?
Thank you, Andy Perry. We still need to stick to those rules, stay at home and keep each other safe. And the Easter message is one of triumph over suffering. So let's hold on to that and to the knowledge that we will come through this together. This is Judith saying thank you for listening. I hope you'll be here next Sunday morning at 9:30 as the churches of the island will once again unite to be at your service, living faith together. Bye-bye for now.
Station.